preacher preaches something that he didn't know he was going to preach. I had something else already, and I kind of feel like the Lord wants us to go this direction. We'll know here in a minute. Amen. You want to see my notes? Right there. Shouldn't be very long, right? But don't let that fool you. It gets real scary when you don't have any notes. Because you make it up as you go. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. Hallelujah. Brother Bacon, I wish I would have heard that sermon about the lion and the lamb. Because this is going to be about the lion and the lamb. Well, I don't know what he said, but I know what the Lord said to me. So, amen. So that's where we're going to go here. All right? Amen. I love this chapter. It's awesome. This takes place in heaven. This is after the rapture of the church. And John said, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on back, sealed with seven seals. Now, when you read the word book in the Bible, it's not talking about that kind of book. It's talking about a scroll that was rolled up. Because this kind of book actually came about because of the Bible. They began to cut it into sections. And it's a whole lot easier to read. If I said, everybody turn to Revelation and everybody's got your scroll out, you'd come to church with 66 of them. Because you'd never know where I was going to go. And it didn't have chapters and verses. You just had to know where it is. So by the time I got finished preaching, you'd finally find it. So, but that's what we're seeing. We're seeing scrolls here. When you read book in the Bible, it's talking about scrolls. Because that's all they had in the time of Christ. And when it says it was rolled up and sealed, they'd roll a little while and they'd seal it, and they'd roll some more and they'd seal it, because each seal signified a purchase and something that had to be bought back. This is actually the book of redemption that we're reading about here. It said, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a... what? How in the world did that get in there? He said he's a lion. And everybody turned around and they saw a lamb. Now that's a world of difference in a lion and a lamb. And so everybody turns around and there stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now listen, having seven horns, this lamb has horns. I mean, he's got real horns. He's got seven horns and seven eyes. Amen. I'm talking about a different kind of lamb here. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Amen. Meanwhile, on the earth, there's trouble, there's tribulation, there's pain, there's judgment, there's sorrow. I want to be on that side when the trumpet sounds. Amen. Brother Jonathan, that's why you need the Holy Ghost. That's the go power. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what's going to get us out of here. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I remember a number of years ago that we used to get these different courses from Jamaica. And they had different courses there. And I remember, you remember that one that said, Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Well, that's it. That's what I said. Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Amen. Well, what's the whole point of that? Well, you know what a magnet does? It reaches out and draws you if you're the right stuff. If you got a magnet and you pass it over paper, nothing happens. If you got a magnet and pass it over wood, nothing happens. If you got a magnet and you pass it over cloth, nothing happens. But if you got a magnet and you pass it over the right kind of metal, wham, it's going to attract. Amen. And that's exactly how the rapture's going to take place. Amen. The Bible tells us if any man hath the Spirit of Christ, he's his. Hallelujah. And we're going to be attracted. And that Holy Ghost is going to come and it's going to take us out of here. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I hear people sometimes say, well, I don't know if I need it or not. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get it just in case. Amen. Well, we don't do that at our church. Well, I go ahead and not do it at your church, but I'm going to get it because I got a feeling that that's what's going to get me out of here. The Bible tells us that's the power that's going to get the church out of the world. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Got to have the Holy Ghost. Whether I got to or not, I want to. Hallelujah. I just like it. Yeah, I like talking in tongues. I like worshiping God. I like getting lost in the Spirit. I like getting drunk on the Holy Ghost. I like being under the influence of the Holy Ghost. I love righteousness. I love peace. I love joy. I love the love of God. Who wouldn't want the Holy Ghost? Amen. Somebody said, well, if I get the Holy Ghost and I got to act like you act, I don't want it. Well, I'll tell you what, you sure wouldn't like the way I used to act then. I used to get in trouble for the way I acted. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I don't get in any trouble anymore, brother. Amen. I don't get in any trouble now, except a few people look at us like we're weird, but that's okay. I look at some people like they're weird. Be nice. Amen. But, you know, sometimes you just can't help it. You go. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean we don't love people. I love weird people. I do. I love weird people. They're welcome. Weird people are welcome here. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost is going to get us out of here. And this is a scene from heaven. The Bible says that there's one that's sitting on the throne. There's one throne, not three. And there's one sitting on the throne. If there were more than one, they'd have to be playing musical chairs. Amen. But there's one throne, and there's one sitting on the throne. Amen. And so that's just one God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says that the angel brought this book. And he asked the question, who's worthy? Amen. Not just anybody could open the book. This book is the redemption of the world. You see, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they lost so many things. They lost health. They lost life. They lost purity and righteousness. And they lost the kingdom of God. They lost the right of fellowship with God. They lost so much. Amen. And written in this book is how to get it back. And there's only one that could get it back. Hallelujah. The Bible said there was not a man on the earth. It said that there was not a man under the earth. It said there's not a man above the earth. In other words, there wasn't an angel, there wasn't a human, there wasn't a demon, there wasn't anybody that was found worthy to open the book. But then suddenly, one of the elders turns around and he said, behold, the Lamb of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he's worthy to open the book. This has got to be one of the greatest scenes in the Bible. Amen. And so everybody turns around to see the lion, and there stands the lamb. Amen. But you never saw a lamb like this lamb. This lamb has horns. He's got seven horns sticking out of his head. In the Bible, a horn is a symbol of power. And seven horns is the symbol of absolute and complete power. In other words, it's saying that that lamb has all power. That lamb is the same one that stood on the Mount of Olives and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. That's the lamb that we're talking about tonight. The one that has all power. And it said he had seven eyes. Seven eyes tells us that he's the omniscient God. He sees everything and he knows everything. Amen. And so he's an all-knowing God and he's an omnipotent God. And there he stands with a book in his hand. Hallelujah. The Bible said that it looked like he'd been slain, but he wasn't slain anymore. Amen. We know he was slain on Friday, but he resurrected on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here's a lamb with the boldness of a lion. Here's a lamb with the power of a lion and the strength of a lion. Amen. Jesus had a very, very controlled spirit and attitude. And that's the aim of every Christian, is to have a controlled spirit and a spirit-controlled attitude. Amen. Everybody has attitudes today. I'll touch on this when we do our parenting class. But let me just give you a little hint tonight. When a child, a baby, and a child, as it grows and it begins to exhibit a bad attitude, don't think it's cute. Now, you might think it's cute, but go in the other room to laugh and then come in and take care of business. Because what's cute when you're 3 is not cute when you're 7 and 8 and 9 and 13 and you come crying in the office saying, I can't do a thing with them. Right. Amen. You gotta stop it when it starts. Amen. Praise God. You know why? Because every last one of us, we got the spirit of Adam and we got the spirit of Mama Eve. Amen. And they got a sin nature. And when you were born in the flesh, that sin nature was passed on to you. Amen. You don't have to teach children to lie. You don't have to teach children to have a bad temper. You don't have to teach children to do anything bad. It's inherent in our nature. You don't have to teach a child to be stingy.
mine! You got to teach them to share. Anything good, you got to teach a child. Because our spirit is so saturated with selfishness and sin, we got to teach that out of people. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And sometimes teaching calls for a little action. Amen. Sometimes words will do it. Sometimes words are not enough. We'll teach you how much. Amen. You know, there is a limit. Praise God. I know the Bible says, beat a child, he'll not die. Times I thought I was in danger, though. Amen. Yeah. So we'll talk about discipline the right way and the wrong way. Amen. But it's important. We all have this nature to sin. And it's in us. It's a part of us. And that has to be changed. Amen. If you see a person that has been unbridled their whole life, and they always get their way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Praise God. Other kids, you know, are brats. Mine's just determined. Others are acting out. Mine's cute. You know. But you got to get a right attitude. You got to get a right spirit. And you have to have an understanding. Because a spirit that's unbridled, it becomes, as you grow, somebody has to stop it somewhere. That's when we have a prison system. That actually is overcrowded right now. Because there are so many people that have an unbridled spirit. And when anytime somebody tries to tell them something and instruct them in something, and they think they have a different idea, a different spirit, that they have no spirit of control. And they go beyond the realm, and so they have to be dealt with. That's just the human spirit we're dealing with. Not all of them have demons. Some of them do, but not all of them do. Many of them, Brother Cole used to say, and he's so right. He said, a lady called him one time and said, Brother Cole, said, I think my daughter has a devil. He said, I sure hope so. And she said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, if it's a devil, we'll cast it out. But if it's flesh, we have to educate it. Amen. We can deal with demons. We have authority over them. They must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. They have no authority above that name. But when you deal with flesh, you can't cast out flesh. Amen. You have to educate it. You have to teach it right and wrong. Amen. And so the Bible says that he stood and he had this authority. He had all power. He has all knowledge. Amen. And this is the lamb nature. He has a lamb nature. Jesus had great compassion on people. We see him all through the Bible. The Bible always said he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was kind to people. He held children on his knee. And he called people that were blind and healed their eyesight. And people that were lame and caused them to walk. And people that were lepers and cleansed them. People that had all kinds of sicknesses and he healed them. That was the lamb spirit. It was a feeding spirit. The Bible talks more about Jesus teaching than it does about Jesus preaching. And that was a feeding ministry. He was always feeding people. That's a lamb ministry. That's the spirit of a lamb. A lamb is a feeding ministry. Jesus always fed people. There are instances in the Bible when he would say goodbye to large crowds, he would feed them. Remember? It happened with 5,000, and it also happened with 4,000. That's two different occasions, two different situations where he fed miraculously. And then, before he said goodbye to his disciples, he fed them a fish dinner. Amen. Jesus was always feeding. That's a lamb ministry. But Jesus also could be a lion. When he walked into the temple that day, and he knew that it was the last week of his life. Passion was beginning. And he walked into that temple, and there were people in there. You got to understand what had happened. People had corrupted the sacrificial system to the place that you know, people come from all over the world to Jerusalem. Jews would come from other countries. And it wasn't logical to bring a sacrifice, a lamb or a bull with them that distance. So they didn't bring it. They would buy one when they got there. And so they you know, Jews in business are at least typical, right? So they knew that there was a great market for sacrifices because people were traveling. They didn't want to bring the sacrifice. And so they would get there and they would have all these sacrificial animals. And of course, they had to have a shekel for the sanctuary. So they had to change their money from whatever their money was to a Jewish currency. So then in the temple, they had actually gotten so bold and they would actually set up in the temple itself. And they had money booths there. And instead of prayer, instead of worship, instead of praise, instead of reverence, it was about money. And they had set up their booths in there and they were changing currency and they were selling doves and lambs in the temple there. And when Jesus saw that, he got a lion spirit. And he went over and he got some ropes and he put them together and he made a whip. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't know. I never have liked most of the pictures that somebody painted of Jesus. He looks way too sissy to me. I'm sorry, he just does. You know, he looks effeminate. He's got long hair. He didn't have long hair like that. Why would he tell men not to have long hair if he had it? He was not long hair. He had his hair cut like a man. Man, now I'm going to shock some of you. He probably had a beard. Did I say that? He couldn't have license with UPC, but anyway. Amen. And I know at one point it is because the Bible says they pulled it out. And some of you men know how that would feel. Amen. And so he was a man. He was a carpenter, for goodness sakes. He had calluses on his hands. He had muscles. He wasn't some sissy, amen, that sitting around and daydreaming. No, he wasn't like that. He was a man's man. He walked everywhere he went. That's right. Amen. The boy that told his dad, he said, "Dad," he said, "I want to borrow the car." He said, "Go get a haircut first." And the boy said, "Jesus had long hair." And he said, "Yeah," and he walked everywhere he went. Logic. Amen. So Jesus was a man. And I'm telling you, when he put that whip together, he got serious. He got down to business. And the Bible said he went over to where the money changers were, and he literally just kicked over their tables. And coins started rolling everywhere. Amen. He was furious. The lion had come to the temple. And he was kicking over. He was opening pens. He was driving out stinking sheep and doves. And he lifted up his voice. And people could hear the sharpness and the anger and the authority. He said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves." Nobody challenged him. Nobody stood up and said, "What are you doing?" Because it was the Lamb taking care of business. Now there's a time to be lambs. And there's a time to be lions. And there's a time that you need to be real sweet. And that's most of the time. Almost always. Amen. You need to be kind. The Bible said that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we are not to retaliate. We are not to seek vengeance against others. We're not supposed to hate anybody. Let me say that again. We are not supposed to hate anybody. You can hate sin with a passion, but love the sinner. I said, hate sin with a passion, but love the sinner. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People need to know that you care about them and that you love them. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so Jesus, he had a lion spirit, and he knew how to roar, and he knew when to roar. Amen. He knew that. And we need the same knowledge today. Praise God. There are times when you're dealing with people and dealing with souls, you have to have a lot of wisdom. You have to have a lot of patience. You have to have a lot of kindness when you deal with human beings. I hope you're hearing me here tonight. Praise God. We need to be very patient with others as others are patient with us. Amen. Don't get critical of other people. Don't get judgmental. That's not your job. That is not your job. You are not to judge other people. If you talk about other people, you are gossiping. I don't gossip. I just discuss. Amen. Isn't it amazing how we hide behind words? Man, that's right. Praise God. But if you're just talking about people, to be talking about people, you know what we call that? You can call it discussing, but it's still gossip. And it's not helpful. It won't help you, and it certainly won't help them. And here's the thing. Usually it gets back to them. And then your relationship is damaged. So we need to be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving, the Bible says. Am I teaching the truth here tonight? Amen. Praise God. Are we really taking this to heart tonight? Do we really want to be Christians tonight? You know what bothers me a lot? A lot of times we preach the Bible and then people just keep on living like they've always been living. And that disturbs me. Amen. Praise God. I still hear criticism and judgment from people that are Christians. Amen. We need to wake up, folks. Let's not just be hearers. Let's be doers. Amen. Brother Grissom, you're doing good tonight. You're really on here right here, sir. You're telling us the truth. Praise God. Amen. We need to practice. Amen. As the Christianity. Don't just preach it, but we've got to practice it. Amen. And be very careful. When you hear the word of the Lord, examine your heart. Don't, you know, there's people, some people come to church with a pitchfork and they feed the entire congregation. When preacher says something, they say, brother so-and-so needs that, and they flip it to him. And then they say, oh, sister needs that, and they get nothing for themselves. They feed everybody else, but they don't get anything. Don't bring a pitchfork to church. Bring a rake. And every time he says something, say, ooh, that's for me. Ooh, that's for me. Ooh, that's for me. Ooh, that's for me. Oh, that's for me. And when you bring a rake instead of a pitchfork, you go home fed and you go home full and you go home changed. Amen. Praise God. So we need a lamb spirit in dealing with others. But we need a lion spirit when we deal with the devil. You got to have boldness when you... He doesn't understand anything else. He doesn't understand kindness. Amen. You got to be bold. The Bible said in one place, it said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. When you get down to prayer and you begin to pray for your loved ones and for your lost children and for your family members, you got to get bold in prayer. You got to get desperate in prayer. You got to get strong in prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you get to praying about your finances and the finances of the church, you need to get bold in your prayers. Amen. You need to let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, and you need to roar when you pray. There's got to be some authority in your prayer. There's got to be some power in your prayer. So you just let the lion loose against the devil. He understands that. Amen. He understands. So when you deal with the devil, you've got to be bold. You've got to take authority. You have it. You got the Holy Ghost. God gave you authority. Amen. And He wants you to use it. Praise the Lord. But I'm very young. The Holy Ghost is not young. Amen. You're not praying in yourself and your flesh. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. Young people, you can be just as bold in the Holy Ghost as somebody that's older, because the Holy Ghost is the same whether it's in you or it's in somebody else. Amen. God has one kind of Holy Ghost. God doesn't have a children's Holy Ghost and a young people's Holy Ghost and a married people's Holy Ghost and a single's Holy Ghost and an elder's Holy Ghost. God has one Holy Ghost, and He gives the same Spirit to everybody that asks. Amen. So you have boldness. Use your boldness. Pray with authority. Pray with faith. Now your elders have the advantage of experience. That's a good thing, but you know how they got it? By practice. Amen. Praise God. I remember when I was young in ministry, and I would hear people tell stories, and I'd think, why don't I have stories like that? Well, guess what? I'm old and I got stories. And I can tell them for a long time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a lot of experience. And the beauty is, I look back and see what God has brought me through. And it builds your confidence. And I've told you this before. Let me say it again. As when you started out reading, remember when you started reading? And you would read, and your little old face would get all twisted, and you would get concentrated, and you would say, see. Spot! Spot runs fast. Oh, you were burning it up. And now you could even read the names in the Bible. Some of them. Isn't that amazing? You see, that's experience. It's repetition. And it was very boring. Remember how boring it was? In the school, boring. But you know what? It's necessary. The essence of education is repetition. You repeat it over and over and over and over and over again till you get it. Amen. And then you remember math. You remember your tutums. Tutums 2 is 4. Tutums 4 is 8. You know, your tutums. You remember that. How'd you learn that? I remember learning to count to 100. That took forever. Amen. It took forever. And you do it the same way every time. Oh, you always got to start with 1. Every time. And you got to do it the same way. You cannot get creative. Math is not a place to get creative. I tried. It did not work. You got to do it the same way every time. Amen. If you don't, you come up with a different answer, and I don't appreciate that. But you see how discipline, education, sticking with it pays off. And it's that experience in life. Right now, you deal with things when you come to the Lord, and it seems like you'll never get through. And you fight and you struggle, and you get through with that. And lo and behold, you get finished with that, and then you meet a bigger one. And you whoop him and you find a bigger one. And just keep graduating up the line. Amen. When I was in school, we had this little boy, a little guy in class, and he liked to fight. I don't know why. And he chose the biggest guy in school to fight with, and the guy thrashed him. And so he went to the next biggest guy, and he thrashed him. And he kept going down the line until he found one that he could whip. And then he was happy. I don't understand that. But God's different. He don't start you out with the big ones. He starts you out with the little ones. And you overcome this one, and then you're ready for another one. And you overcome this one, and then you get two of them. And you whoop both of them, and you're ready for another one. And your strength is gaining all the time. Amen. And until today, and some of you elders need to realize how strong you are. I'm saying how strong you are. You have fought some battles. You have come through some things. You've climbed some tall mountains. You've fought and destroyed some mighty enemies. You pulled down some tough strongholds in your time. Amen. And you look back and the things that were so hard then, you don't even think about anymore. They're not even worthy opponents for you. But you get the lion spirit. That's what that is. That's taking authority. And we need to do that, folks. We got some things around here that we need to take some authority over. We got some precious people that are struggling right now. And we need to break through some things. Amen. We're having a little struggle with finances that we never had before. And we need to break through these things. Amen. You know what? I believe God wants to bless people. I believe God wants you to have a raise on your job. I believe God wants you to have a good job. Amen. I believe that. Why not? We can do that. If you can have a good job and serve God, you need to have a good job. If you can't have a good job and serve God, then go flip burgers. Do something that you can serve God doing. Don't get like the guy that came to the pastor and he said, I tell you what, I'm having a real hard time paying my tithes. And the guy said, well, I don't understand, sir. You're making better than you've ever made. He said, that's just it. He said, when I started out, I wasn't making much and it didn't cost me much to pay my tithes. He said, but now I'm paying a lot of tithes. It's a lot of money. And the pastor said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just pray until the Lord takes you back down to where you're comfortable paying tithes again. And he said, oh, no, 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 don't do that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You see, can God bless us? Can God trust us with a blessing? I have watched people, God would elevate them until they had plumb out of the church because they couldn't handle their blessings. Amen. That's a travesty, isn't it? So let God bless you. Prove yourself worthy. Put God first. I've heard people say, well, you know, when I start making such and such, I'm going to start worshiping God. I'm going to start paying my tithes and giving offerings. Well, it don't work that way. You start right where you are. Brother Neely was the classic. Brother came to him and said, Brother Neely, said, I'm going to start doing better on my tithes. He said, Brother, you can't improve on 10%. That's what tithe is. It's just 10%, regardless. Amen. For a dollar, that's a dime. Amen. For $10, it's a dollar. Right? Right. Help me out here, all you mathematicians. For $100, it's $100. See? I told you to watch me. I'm talking about blessing here, folks. But you got to have a lion spirit. Not a lying spirit, a lion spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a difference. Amen. Cherie was little. She couldn't say L's for some reason. So we'd try to get her. We'd say, Cherie, say, la, 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 lion. And she'd say, whoa, 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 lion. But she got it. By the time she was 18, she's doing fine. No, it wasn't that bad. But you got to give. We have to have a lot when it comes to authority, overcoming enemies, overcoming obstacles. You have to get bold. You have to do spiritual warfare. You have to fight the battle. But if you'll stand, you will win. Amen. You cannot be defeated. If we go in Jesus' name and we stand our ground, amen, you will win the victory. Praise God. God wants to take us to another level, folks. I mean, it is pretty good around here right now, Brother Bacon. Amen. We've been having some church, I'm talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. A friend of ours came a few years, it's been a few years ago now, to preach for us, and he came and he got here, and we were having church like we always do, and he after church he said, "Brother," said, "you didn't tell me it was one of them kind of churches." I want to keep being one of them kind of churches. Praise the Lord. Let's always be one of them kind of churches. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship God. Let's praise God. Let's pray like a lion. And let's win souls like a lamb. I read a story some years ago about a pastor. And he had a recurring dream. He was in a prison cell. It was very comfortable. It was padded, had a nice bed. It was a comfortable prison cell, but it was a prison cell. And he would hear a voice, and it would call him out of the prison cell. And he would call his name, and it would say, "Come out. Come out." And he would get out of the prison cell, and he would open the door, and he would look around. And in the distance, he could hear a roaring, a lion. And he stepped out into the hallway, and he would start making his way down the hallway toward the gate. And as he would get closer, the roaring of the lion would get louder and louder and louder until he would get so afraid he'd turn around and he'd run back in his cell and he'd stay there, and the next day that sweet voice of the Lord would begin, "Come on now, come out, come out." And he'd make his way until he couldn't stand the roar of the lion and he'd rush back until finally the voice said, "Today is the day. You've got to go through. You've got to make it out. You've got to go through the gate." So he came out, and the same thing. He heard the roaring. Every step that he took, the roaring got louder, and it got louder, and he could feel the force and the vibration of the sound of the roaring of the lion. And finally, he was one step away from the cells, and he would step out into the space right before he got to the gate. And just as he got there, the roar was so loud and it was so powerful. Everything inside of him wanted to run back to the comfort of his cell. But he said, "I've got to make it out today." And he prayed and kept pressing forward. And when he stepped out beyond and he was almost to the gate, he became so angry because what he saw was a recording of a lion. There was no lion at all. It was just a massive projection system and PA system that was roaring like a lion. And there was no lion at all. All this time, he had been afraid of nothing but a roar. He got so angry. And then the scripture came to him. It said, "Satan is like..." Everybody say, "like." It didn't say he is one. It said he is like a roaring lion. A roaring lion that roameth about seeking whom he may devour. But he's not a lamb. He sounds a lion. He sounds like a lion, but he's not a lion. But he'll roar. And if you listen to it, he'll keep you in prison. He'll keep you depressed. He'll keep you discouraged. He'll keep you despondent. He'll keep you down if you just listen to the roar. Every time you come to church, he starts roaring. Amen. And he says you can't get victory tonight. But you probably next Sunday, it's going to be special and you'll be able to get victory then. But not tonight. And he roars, not tonight, not tonight, not tonight. Amen. Just maybe Wednesday night, but not tonight. And he roars. And if as long as you listen to the roar, he can keep you terrified. And he can keep you subjected. Amen. But when you understand something, you're nothing but a sound. Amen. All you've got's a roar. You don't have any claws. And you don't have any teeth. All you can do is put a thought in my head. Let me say it again. All the devil can do to you is put a thought in your head. I've heard people so afraid of the devil, the devil's going to kill me. If the devil could kill you, nobody would ever be saved. There would never be a person make it to this altar if the devil had that kind of power. Amen. He'd kill everybody before they came to the front door. We'd have more funerals here. Amen. Until we'd really have a reputation. Because he'd kill everybody before you had a chance to get the Holy Ghost. Right? Amen. But he doesn't have that authority. And he doesn't have that power. Amen. All the devil can do is put a thought in your head. Yeah, that's right. He'll say, not tonight. Not tonight. You can do it another time, but not tonight. That's what he did to you, Brother Jonathan. So you went to youth camp and said, tonight! That's it. You said, tonight! That's what I did. I went to youth camp and I said, tonight! And guess what? I got it! Amen. I got tired of the devil said, not tonight, not tonight, not tonight. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. You know, you listen to him and you start worshiping God. You want the Holy Ghost. You start worshiping, praising God. And he'll say, you know, I'm up here and I'm trying to help you. And I'm saying, now come on, say it out loud. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. He said, now don't you get loud. Don't you get loud. People think you're weird. They'll hear you. Amen. You know what you've got to do? You've got to get so mad at the devil. You've got to roar. You've got to get a lion spirit. Say, you've been lying to me a long time. I'm going to get a lion spirit and I'm going to pray through. I'm going to press through. I'm going to break through. Amen. Praise God. He'll get on your shoulder and he'll say, now I heard what you said this last week. And Christians don't talk like that. So you hypocrite, don't you sit there and worship God. And he'll put a thought in your head. Don't you worship. You're not worthy. He's right. You're not. You're not here because you're worthy. You're here because he's worthy. You're not worshiping because you're worthy. You're worshiping because he's worthy. Amen. You know what you got to do? You got to agree with him. Say, you're right. Amen. I'm not any good. I'm not worthy. I know what I said. I know what I did. But I put it under the blood. I asked Jesus to forgive me. And he forgave me. Hallelujah. You got to take authority. Amen. Praise God. I know what I'm talking about here tonight. Amen. You know, sometimes I clap my hands and it hurts. And you know what I do? I clap them louder. I hit them harder. Amen. Because I'm not going to let it stop me. Amen. I just don't want anything to hold me back. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what I do? When I come to church and I don't feel like praying, amen, I quit praying. And I start praising. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You talk about roaring. You can roar when you praise. You can only ask for stuff so long. But when you get through, you know, you say, enough asking for stuff. I've got more than I deserve right now. And you just start praising God. Oh, you're the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You're the Root of Jesse. You're the Lamb that was slain. You have all power. You have all authority. You have all knowledge. and you just begin to praise Him and bless Him and lift Him up, and you start roaring. Amen. You start shaking the gates of hell until they tremble. Amen. Praise God. You have that authority when you pray. And you have that authority when you praise. Amen. Young people, when you worship like you're worshiping tonight, and listen to me, don't you stop doing that just because you got home from HYC. Amen. You make up your mind, if I'm the only one doing it, don't worry about it. Just be the only one. Amen. Others will feel guilty enough in a minute. They'll get with you. Amen. But somebody's got to start it. It wouldn't even matter if it was some of these elders doing it. Amen. Praise God. I'm not here to try to... I have less bounce of the ounce, but I got a lot more ounces. Amen. But I still got the want to. So you got to understand, when I'm doing this, it's equivalent to you jumping 3 feet. Praise the Lord. Boy, that's good theology right here, I'm telling you. Amen. And when Sister Nancy gets that walker and takes off around the church, amen, that's worth 10 laps, every one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. We gotta take authority. Amen. You gotta roar sometimes. You gotta roar sometimes. Amen. And there's a time to roar and there's a time not to roar. And again, when you're dealing with souls, it's not time to roar. It's time to be patient. It's time to be kind. It's time to be loving. It's time to feed. It's time to nourish. It's time to encourage. It's time to strengthen. Amen. It's time to not think about yourself. Think about others and give yourself to that. Amen. That's the Lamb ministry. And we're going to do that. But when you get down to prayer, roar. When it's time to praise, amen, shake the walls. Raise the roof. Amen. Praise God, because that's where our victory is. What was it said in the book of Nehemiah? I believe I read somewhere. It said, For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And we need to be joyful a lot more than we're sad. Praise the Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, you ought to be happy just about all the time. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. If you want to be strong, you should be. Praise the Lord. Just be joyful. You know, it is a choice. You can decide whether you want to be happy or whether you want to be sad. You can decide whether you want to be grumpy. That's right. You can make up your mind. Well, I got to quit here, Brother Bacon. My notes are almost gone. I'm right down at the bottom. We're just nearly through. Praise the Lord, but it is a choice. You make a choice. Amen. You can live on, or you can change. People can change. You can change your spirit. You can change your attitude. Yes, you can. Amen. You can quit talking about people. Yes, you can. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, back on that, are we? Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know that anybody's doing this. I'm just preaching. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. Praise the Lord. First step out of getting out of holes to quit digging. That's what they say. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God, give us a spirit of a lion. And give us a spirit of a lamb. We need both of those tonight. Amen. The Bible said he was a lamb as he were slain. We have to have that slain nature, that crucified nature. That's why Paul said, I die daily. He said, I mortify my members. That means I put them to death. When my old ugly spirit rises up, he said, I got to put it down. Amen. When I start getting jealous, I got to put down jealousy. And when I start getting grumpy, I got to put down grumpiness. Is grumpiness a sin? It's real close. Amen. How many like grumpy people? Anybody like grumpy people? Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody asked a lady one time, they said, did you just wake up grumpy this morning? She said, no, I let him sleep. They missed the point there. Amen. But all of us, see, we got to keep working at this. Putting down the carnal nature, building up the spiritual nature. Amen. Less of me, more of him. Praise God. Less of me, more of him. Praise God. God, help us tonight to let the lion loose. Amen. Help us when we come in this house to let the lion loose. Devour sin. Amen. Devour habits and addictions that would bind us. And let us walk in liberty and in the peace and the power and the perfection of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody need a victory tonight? It's here. Amen. It's here. Praise the Lord. Anybody, you need something from the Lord? It's here. Just come and get it. Come roaring tonight. Come roaring tonight. Amen. Praise God. Come roaring tonight. You know, something that I don't know how this applies to everybody, but I know how it applies to me. I don't spend a lot of time kneeling in prayer. Amen. Now, I know that may be weird to some people, but I don't kneel a whole lot. You don't see kneeling in the Bible a whole lot. You know where we learn to kneel? That's a tradition. It's not a biblical tradition. It's just a tradition. And a lot of people, the first thing they do when they come down here is they kneel down. Amen. When you kneel down, that doesn't always mean you mean business. Sometimes it's just a habit. There's sometimes you need to come down here like you mean business. And you need to plant your 2 feet. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to stand up and lift up your head and lift up your voice. Amen. Praise God. There's a time to fight on your knees and there's a time to get on your feet. Hallelujah. There's a time to stand your ground. Hallelujah. There's a time to lift up your eyes to the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, I've seen a whole lot more people get the Holy Ghost standing up than I have kneeling down. I've seen a whole lot more people shouting the victory standing up than I did kneeling down. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's okay to stand your ground. I know sometimes I have felt so unworthy. Kneeling wasn't enough. I just get on my face before God. Just lay on the floor. Get as low as I could. Amen. But there's other times I want to just stand up. Most of the time, I'm going to stand. I'm going to walk. I'm going to run. I'm going to leap. I'm going to praise. Amen. That's a lion spirit. You got to get that lion spirit tonight. Praise the Lord. It's time to gather around this altar tonight. Somebody needs a victory. Hallelujah. Somebody needs a victory. You can have it tonight. It's here. Amen. You just got to get that boldness and come and get it. Amen. You just get that boldness tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I'll never forget on a Wednesday night after a Bible study, and we were getting ready to close the service, and I just simply said, bring somebody Sunday morning. They could get the Holy Ghost. Amen. And all of a sudden, Brother Robbie Morris stood up back there, and he said, Brother, how about tonight? And in 5 minutes, he was talking in tongues. He wasn't waiting till Sunday. He said, I want it on a Wednesday. Is that all right? Amen. You can have it when you want it. Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord a little bit here tonight. Jesus Christ, we love you. Hallelujah. We come in your name. We take authority in your name.